This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Helen Ryba of The Chef's Plate.
Good afternoon.
Yes. And we are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And we are in studio with Chuck Rolichek. Very interesting. I believe it or not, being in the restaurant business for over 28 years, we've never met formally. Amazing. I mean, I know who you are, of course,
and I knew you.
Here, yeah. So it's an absolute pleasure to be sitting here talking
Thank
to you.
Carol.
So that's why I kept him longer, and we are going to chat with Linda Ditch of What's Cooking in Kansas. You can check her blog out there and back again. Check it out at lindaathompson.blogspot.com. Hi, Linda. What's happening in Kansas?
Hi, Carol. How's everything there right now?
Linda?
It's hazy, nope. Sunny, and dear. Not so great. So.
Linda, are you there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Linda from Kansas, right? Are you here?
Hello?
Oh, Bob, Hello? She can't hear us?
Uh-oh. A tornado took her away.
I can hear you. Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Yes, I'm like, hello.
So what's happening?
Oh, you know what? It's rainy there today.
Here?
It's raining there in New Hampshire today, right?
Yes
it is. And they're saying there's going to be a 30% chance of tornado. So we thought you could help us with that, being in Kansas.
Oh, get out of town, really?
That's what they're saying. That's what Alan said.
That's what I read this morning, yes.
Well, definitely, if they say one's around, don't mess around with it. Get to the basement or get to lower ground or get into the bathroom and into the bathtub, something like that to try and help yourself out. So
there you go.
You definitely don't want to mess around, especially around there with so many trees. You can't see them coming as well as you can here, I don't think.
True.
So you really have to depend on what the weather guys are saying. So, yeah, believe them when they say, if they say one's around, yeah, take cover. Don't try and go out and look for it.
It's later on. I'll text you if I have any questions.
That sounds perfect. Yeah, I'm happy to help you out as much as I can.
Mike is, just so you know.
Back.
Mike is on vacation. He's sailing somewhere. And Helen Ryba, you must know Helen.
No, I don't think we've met.
No, we haven't. And Helen, how long has your TV show been around?
It's been around for about 4 years now. We started out at MCAM at the Public Access Station, and then we're on WBIN now.
See, now, when you know, I moved 5 years ago. Missed your show.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, Linda? You must remember Good Eats NH.
Oh, sure.
That is Helen.
That's me, too.
That is Helen also.
Oh, well, cool. It's nice to know the person behind that, because I used
there
to work with that all the time. Absolutely.
There you go. And then we're also in studio with Chuck Rolichek. I'm sure you know Chuck.
I don't think I've met Chuck either.
I am sorry. I'm like assuming, you just assume she's a foodie and she's into food. Chuck Rolichek from CR Sparks and now CR's Restaurant. CR's the restaurant.
I remember saying, but Chuck, when I was Linda Thompson and working for the Hippo, we may have talked.
I believe so. And even when I had the Hanover Street Chop House, we were open then when you were still right?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay. I knew the name. I knew the name was familiar, but I think that we have talked in the past for various reasons. So, yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times I would speak to you guys as a place to go to for like Valentine's Day or some special event, that kind of thing. So
yes, that was in those days. That's all you could afford to do at the Chop House. It was so expensive, and I was the first one to say that. So,
but it worked.
And Linda probably sees plenty of steakhouses in Kansas, right?
Of everywhere, yes, absolutely, especially up around Kansas City. But even in every city, there's a steak place. Here we've got the Texas Star Steakhouse here in Topeka. So, but then, of course, then there are all the same ones like Longhorn and Outback.
So you're in Topeka, Kansas?
Yes.
Because I lived in Kansas for 2 years when I was a kid. I lived in Lawrence, Kansas. My father went to the university out there to get his PhD.
Oh, he's a Jayhawk, huh?
Yes. Yep, the Jayhawkers. Mm-hmm. And we lived in an apartment complex, and right across the hall from us, we made really good friends with one of the players, the big players of the Jayhawks. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, awesome. Well, you'll have to, when you talk to him next, you'll have to tell him Rock Talk.
Okay.
Know what that is.
All right.
if you're a KU fan, you know what Rock Talk is, for sure.
Okay.
So, Linda, what's happening? What do you have for us today?
Well, I just put up on the blog the most amazing peach sangria.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I was wanting to put up a drink, and I love sangria, and the ones I make typically are red wines and this kind. But this one, I had this last night, and this is how quick I got it up there because I liked it so much. I had it last night at a dinner party, and the temperature last night, yesterday, was in the upper 90s here, about 97, 98, and humid.
Ooh.
And we were supposed to be eating outside, and she had set the tables up outside, and it was just, it was too hot, even in the shade.
Right.
It was just too hot, so we went inside, but this drink was so refreshing, and and luckily she gave me the recipe, and I was able to put it up on the blog. And it's a Southern Living recipe that I did a little adapting to it, but it's perfect for a hot, sticky, steamy day when you just want to relax and enjoy a few appetizers. She served the sangria with her appetizers, and it was perfect, absolutely perfect.
Nice, very nice.
I've seen recipes for peach sangria before, but this one, most of those had white wine in them, and this one has rosé, and I like that. It gave it a pretty color besides the peach nectar that's in it, but it gave it a nice pretty color and a little bit of a sweetness to it that some white wine you wouldn't get from. So, and I liked it with the rosé very much.
Do you use a peach puree, Linda? Because we use a peach puree as part of our mixed cocktails, and we have a Bellini and a few other things. That this peach puree is pretty good, a pretty good product.
Right. Yeah. It does have a peach puree or peach nectar. I think I call it peach nectar. But yeah, you can buy at the store in the can, or if you want to, whiz up some peaches in the blender, and you've got your puree that you can actually pour in there as well. But you can buy it in bottles and cans at the grocery store too. So. But yeah, that gives a little piece extra piece. And in the original recipe called for, cutting up fresh, peeling and slicing fresh peaches to put in it. But like I know in New Hampshire, peaches are not in season, and they're not really in season around here yet either. So I think frozen would work just as well. Get some nice, Cascadian Farm has some great organic frozen peaches, and I think that would work as well to put in to soak in the liquid along with some raspberries. This one calls for raspberries too. So
okay, that sounds delicious.
Oh, it was amazing. You put a little vodka in there, and
we like the vodka.
You put the vodka in there. I was Pipe wondering up. About pink schnapps too. I'm thinking that
Ooh.
Might work in there too. But I put on the blog that I'm looking forward to playing with this recipe all summer.
There you go. And then we're all going to fly out to Topeka and drink with you.
Right. Yeah. Come on over. I've got tons of peach sangria. Come help me drink it. Yeah. Well, do you have a drink that you like to drink in the summer? Like when you think hot summer cocktail, what do you think of?
Go ahead, Helen.
Me? Oh, well, I'm making at home this sort of...
that drink you're drinking.
Yes, yeah, I made it up. So I take a fresh strawberries, because it's strawberry season now, and I put it in the bottom of a glass, and I put one basil leaf, and I muddle that together, and then I put in some blueberry vodka, some limeade, and then I shake it all up, and then I put it with the ice in the glass, and then I float some frozen blueberries that are fresh blueberries, but I freeze them and float them on top. And so as they thaw, it keeps the drink cold, and then you eat them at the bottom. So it's like, it's called my red, white, and blue, because it's red, white, and blue, and it's very good for...
You know what? I think Chuck is stealing that.
I am.
Chuck?
Maybe on the menu
it's
next week.
It's going to be on
CR. As long as you give me one for free.
Sounds great. Of course.
It's very refreshing.
That sounds amazing. It makes me think of... Emma Lagasse has a blueberry mojito recipe. And it kind of makes me think of that, minus the strawberry.
Yep.
But he puts a strawberry, he does, I think that he uses strawberry to garnish the glass, if I'm remembering, and then floats the blueberries on top. So But yeah, he has a blueberry mojito. It kind of sounds, you know, with rum. So yeah, it sounds very close to that. I'm going to have to try it. It sounds like a great idea.
It's really good. It's very good. So when you use the blueberry vodka, you get a little bit of the blueberry taste. Yeah. It's not too sweet. And you can add a little triple sec too if you want.
Now, do you serve that straight up, like in a martini glass?
You can, but on the rocks? I have it on the rocks.
But I think that would be a pretty good martini, the red, white, and blue martini.
It would be. So it'd be good for 4th of July.
Yes.
You can call it Helen's 4th of July martini.
Helen's Teeny is what I had in mind.
Hey, you're going to have your name on the menu.
I'm famous.
That's so cool.
Listen, the best thing I ever did when I owned the Chop House, I named a dessert after Howie Carr, the famous broadcaster and political guy.
Yep.
He came up so many times, and so many people came in and said, I want the Howie. And having a dessert named after you gives you an extra incentive to talk about your restaurant on the radio. And that was a smart. So
what was it?
Helen's Teeny might be on the menu next week.
There we go.
What was the dessert?
It was like a triple chocolate layer cake with a fudge topping and all the rest. And it wasn't necessarily his recipe or his favorite. We made a few of them when we first met him, and we said, which one do you like? And whatever it was, we were going to call it the Howie. but people drove from the South Shore. I'm here to have the Howie.
To come and have the Howie.
I'd say that,
that doesn't surprise me. He has so many people that listen to him.
Yes. So, well, Helen's the same way. So with Helen's Teeny, they're going to like that.
There we go.
There you go. That's perfect. So, you know,
I remember one of my favorite summer drinks
that I discovered back there, up in the White Mountains. There was a bar I went to for my first honeymoon in life, and I can't remember the name of it, but they made a Captain Peach.
Ooh.
And what it was basically they, in a blender, they whizzed up some pina colada mix with Captain Morgan's and peach schnapps and a little grenadine to make it peach-colored, and they called it a Captain Peach. It was so good.
That sounds pretty good, too. Yeah.
It all sounds good.
It all sounds really good.
You're helping me do my drink list right here on the air.
He's doing his homework.
Well, and then you got to have the woo-woo then.
Oh, the woo-woo, Chuck.
What's a woo-woo?
So a woo-woo is cranberry juice, vodka, and peach
schnapps.
Oh. Just be a theme here with peach, you know. And then I like to put a little lime in it, too. You know, wedge of lime, squeeze a wedge of lime in it, too. That's my favorite. Over in a tall glass over ice, and you drink enough of them, you're going, woo-woo! So.
Actually, I think people do it in a shot, too, right? Like woo-woo shots?
I've seen it in a shot. But
I think I might have had one or two of those.
When I first started drinking, my friends down in Gloucester, Massachusetts, a friend of mine down there was making them, and we did them in glasses with lots of ice, and which may be why we were woo-wooing more than other people.
It's fun just to order it. I'll have a woo-woo, please.
Yeah, woo-woo, please.
I know. I like to order it just to see the perplexed looks on a bartender's face that doesn't quite know what I'm talking about.
Linda, you should work for the Peach Growers Association because you just given me three recipes with peach in it, and I'll give you one, too. One of my favorite summertime cordials, or after an evening if you're sitting out by the fire or the lake, is peach schnapps just on the rocks. Ooh. And no one thinks of it. They think of it in a snifter, and it warms you up in the wintertime. But I, for years, have served that, you know, in my backyard. And people think that's kind of an interesting, just right over the ice. The chill of the peach schnapps is pretty nice, too.
See, to me,
I don't think I've ever had peach schnapps just, you know, on its own. But why not? That's a great idea. I like
that on
idea.
The rocks. It's a very refreshing, cool way, and it actually, you know, I think it thins out the viscosity
right,
of the peach
nuts. Right, I bet
nuts.
It does. Because so. To me, it sounds sweet. To me, I'm thinking thick and sweet. But you're right. The ice would help it. You know, get
it's
a
lower
little...
alcohol too, right?
You can sip a little bigger glass than you normally would.
I know all the alcohol content. Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, because as the ice is melting, it's diluting it. It makes it better, right? Yeah. So you're not getting silly, right?
Right.
You're not doing woo-woo until later in the evening.
It's time to go to bed. Woo-woo.
Oh, my goodness.
I think our strawberry wine is affecting some
of
that.
Yeah, I think so.
That's it. I didn't have lunch today. That's my problem. Liquid lunch.
Oh, no. You had a drink, but you didn't have any.
No, we're drinking wine. No, we're drinking wine as we speak.
Yeah, so. who's the winery that did that strawberry wine?
There's a Sweet Baby Vineyards in New Hampshire. 100% locally grown.
That's famous, the newer vineyard.
It's in East Kingston.
Okay.
Yes, and they do.
I actually won an award from the New Hampshire Wine Makers Association for Journalist of the Year in the last year that I was there, because I wrote a big piece in the Hippo about New Hampshire wines and why you should explore them. So
yeah, there's a lot more popping up. That
yeah,
and beer,
there's tons
everywhere.
Of them. Craft beer is a big thing right now.
Huge,
yes,
huge. Really, but this
oh,
is a
I love White Birch. Is my I loved White Birch. They were one of my favorites.
Yep. Well, Linda, we're going to have to say goodbye. We're running out of time.
We'll have to talk some more next week then.
We will. And next week is, can you believe next week's going to be 4th of July? That's kind of scary.
It is scary.
Then we'll have to talk some 4th of July recipes, won't we?
We do. So maybe some grilling things or, you know, salad recipes or something like that.
Or more drinks.
And another drink.
And another drink. And so I'll have to come out. Oh, dear, I might have to experiment some more.
There you go. Oh,
there's an excuse. It's work.
Thank you, Linda.
Nice meeting you.
Okay. You guys have a great week.
You too. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Sure.
All right. You are listening to Food for Thought. And I promise when we come back, we are going to talk all about CR's The Restaurant. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Helen Ryba of The Chef's Plate.
Hello.
Yes. And we are in studio with Chuck Rolichek. We kept him longer today.
Glad to be here.
Yes. Very fun.
It's been fun.
Yes.
So your place is so gorgeous over there. It's so beautiful.
Thank you, Helen. You know, I learned long ago from all the restaurants, it's worth it to pay the restaurant designer his fee, because he kind of creates what you're trying to, you know, emulate what you're trying to do. And I've been very fortunate. I've worked with a designer out of Boston named Peter Nemitz.
He's pretty famous.
Nemitz Design Group.
Yes,
yep, he is. I mean, his real claim to fame is probably all the Capitol grills. You know, he came up with that original concept. He did a lot with the paparazzis back in the early 90s. And what's interesting is that I never feel he makes my restaurant look like somebody else's. He always makes it a little different. And, you know, when I came to do C.R. Sparks back in 1993 and I met him, it was like going to a shrink. I mean, he basically said, sit down, lay down, tell me what your vision, tell me what you're thinking. What do you think it should look like? What kind of food?
I'm picturing Chuck laying on the couch right now.
My hands are folded and I'm going, I don't want to be a restaurateur. I do want to be a restaurateur. I don't want to be a, excuse me. But, and he's drawing sketches and he's making notes and, you know, asks for a very small, modest deposit and says, come back in 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, you've got three or four boards of your interiors, your artist renderings, your materials are, you know, stuck onto the board. What kind of woods, what kind of granite, what kind of cloth, what kind of fabric. And if you go forward at that point, you write a little bigger check. But compared to everything else, he was always a great value. So C.R. Sparks looked so unique, in my opinion. We went to the Chop House, and I said, well, I don't want to make it to look like a Capitol Grill. I mean, it has to. And I think he made it look like a very rich steakhouse, urban steakhouse that didn't look like that. And then with C.R.'s, the interesting thing is, excuse me again, he built that restaurant when it was called Manta, and he created that in 2001. So when I asked him to redo it last September, it was his, you know, he's recreated one of his own.
Wow.
So I've owned all four restaurants that he's ever done in New Hampshire now, and he did the event center. So I give him all the credit for the design. I just have to say yes, no. We can afford that. And sometimes, you know, the light fixtures at C.R. Sparks, I remember everybody loved. But that was like the third choice, because the first choice was $100,000. Second choice was $80,000. Third choice might have been $40,000. But it's not always about the money.
Yeah,
it's so true. It is true. We're talking with Chuck Rolichek, the owner of CR's The Restaurant. You can check him out on the web at crstherestaurant.com. And you know, Chuck, for people that have not been to CR's yet, they're listening and they're going to go down, walk us through the front door and give us a tour of CR's and what they might expect when they go in there.
Carol, the one thing we tried to accommodate is that the restaurant, when it was Bonta, was old world Italian, a little bit pretentious, a little bit stuffy. So we immediately wanted to make it friendly. And the first thing we did was made a bar that used to seat 8 people and was very plain. We made a horseshoe bar for 16.
Love it.
We opened up the area right by the host stand, and we created like a lounge in front of a fireplace with big easy chairs and a beautiful bench, you know, that so people have a gathering spot. You know, when you're waiting for your table, you don't have to be 3 deep at the bar. You don't have to be standing, getting bumped in by anybody coming and going. Go sit down. And given this past winter, we had that fireplace on a lot. So it was a very popular spot. You know, the colors are all natural. It's kind of like C.R. Sparks was in that we tried to create a little bit of a ski lodge, something that used all the New Hampshire
kind
materials.
Kind of country,
cozy and
country,
comfortable.
Yep. Like you're going to a really rich friend's house. It's that comfy, cozy.
That's a nice way of saying it. And again, like, you know, a resort that you'd find maybe in northern New Hampshire, a lot of wood, a lot of granite. Our chairs are, you know, the schoolhouse chairs that I had at C.R. Sparks are still being used in the dining room. You know, when I closed C.R. Sparks, Carol, I put everything in the storage that wasn't beat up at that point because we had been open 17 years. And the artwork and the tables and the chairs and some support equipment, because I thought someday I would reopen it. And, you know, I would have named it C.R. Sparks, but in this instance, you don't walk in and see C.R. Sparks because it's not an exhibition kitchen. So I was really, you know, struggling with the name. I mean, I had probably 10 other names that had nothing to do with CR's, the restaurant. And but I wanted to live off the brand a little bit. And, you know, the whole CR Sparks thing was we were going to name it Sparks because of all the wood-fired cooking. I did a focus group, which really threw me into a tizzy and said, you got to have your name in it. So it should be Carol's Red Arrow Diner. And I said, I don't want my name in it. And with a last name like Rolichek, you know, that's not popular. If it was O'Malley or a nice Italian name, maybe. But it was going to be Sparks. And then the day I walk in with my advertising people and I say, I want the first slogan to be, come in and see our Sparks. And they go, wow, we could use your initials.
C.R. Sparks.
I like that.
That was something that I've told a story recently that some people never knew. But it was always interesting when somebody would say, when there was a line and there was a wait for a table, I know Mr. Sparks. And the hostess would say, I beg your pardon, I'm good friends with Mr. Sparks.
Isn't that funny when they do stuff like that?
That's not, well, okay. So they'd say, Chuck. And they'd point to him. So I'd walk him to the table and whisper in his ear, it's R-O-L-E-C-E-K, but you can call me Sparks. And they appreciated that.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but let's just let the listeners know a little bit about your menu.
Carol, we're going with comfort food that we specialize from the area. So we've got 3 steaks, a filet, a ribeye, and a New York strip. We have 4 or 5 fish items, everything from grilled swordfish to sesame crusted tuna, cedar plank salmon, which is a C.R. Sparks recipe.
That's what I had when I went. It was delicious.
Some free range chicken. We do a great chicken parm. We do probably the most popular dish. And again, people don't go out for chicken unless you're going to the Colonel, see the Colonel. But I'd say this, you know, our Statler chicken, bacon wrapped Statler breast has been one of the most popular items.
Mm.
But in addition to that, thin crust pizzas, some great appetizers. I mean, where else can you get duck confit? Where else can you get pork belly with a fried egg on top of it?
Yeah,
I think
Helen saw and partook a little bit of
that.
Great Cobb salad with lobster on top.
Great Cobb salad.
Yeah, you were just showing me those pictures. Yes. Yum.
Trying to use lobster, but we know people come to our place for something else. And I'm real proud of the wine list. The cocktail list has been enhanced after today's show.
Go.
So
head out to CR's for Helen's Teeny.
So
quickly, what do you see trending right now? You see any types of foods that are trending right now?
You know, that's interesting.
Besides the farm to table.
I can't put my finger on it. I really can't. I know people say they're eating more, more consciously and more healthy, but boy, when they still go out, you kind of throw that to the wayside, and you get a chocolate hot fudge sundae. Organic chicken used to be so popular, free range chicken. People don't ask for it as much anymore. And we had a hard time when we went with hormone free, expensive beef at the Chop House. Just wasn't the market for it here. Maybe in a bigger city.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I learned so much, and it was very fun.
And I'm super hungry.
Well, we're easy to find, and I would say to the listeners, we're open for lunch and dinner. We take reservations. We have a great service staff and very friendly, plenty of parking. And it's not that hard to find. You know, if you're coming from the Concord area, you're taking 93 down to 101 East. If you're from the Manchester area, probably less than 30 minutes.
Right.
And if you're taking a ride out at the beach, we're 3 miles from Hampton Beach.
And what exit is it?
It's exit 13.
Exit 13.
And great outdoor dining, too.
Thank you, Helen. That's working out really well this summer.
People
the
love
patio.
That.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
People
and
really enjoy that.
We have a patio that's kind of private, so unlike maybe in an urban area where people are walking by and staring at what you're eating, we don't have that.
A little privacy.
So, there is.
Well, Chuck Rolichek of CR's The Restaurant, go and check them out. I highly recommend it. I've been a couple of times, and it's delicious. So, again, on the web, crstherestaurant.com. And, Chuck, again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Carol. Nice to be here. And thank you,
Helen.
Nice
to see you again.
You as well.
You're listening to Food for Thought, and in the green room right now is Julie Barron of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. In for Mike today is Helen Ryba of The Chef's Plate. Yes. And he is quite the guy.
He is. I think we could sit here for like all day long and talk.
I think we could have. You know, he's very, very interesting.
He is.
And
he's got a great story, and he's really worked his way up.
Yes.
Just like you, Carol.
Well, you know. Anyway, let's move on. We are now in studio with our weekly segment with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. Welcome, Julie.
Hello, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good to see you guys again. Nice
I
to
know,
meet you.
I know. So, what is happening up at Make-A-Wish up on the third floor?
Up on the third floor.
They're right here in this building up on the third floor.
Well, excitement is mounting because there's a young lady who we've been working on making a movie for her. She wanted to make an anime. Is that how you pronounce
anime,
it?
Anime
movie.
Okay.
And so her movie is actually...
I didn't hear of this anime. What is...
It's like from Japan. Is it? It's the guys, the...
Oh, okay. I know what you mean
characters.
Now.
Characters, yeah.
Got it. Okay.
This was our first foray into it, too.
Okay.
So we found this amazing young lady who has been studying that and working with that. And so Megan helped Lindsay put it together, and so we've been working over the last couple of months to create the movie. So now the movie is just completed. It's so great.
What's
I can't
it about?
Wait for everybody
can
to see
you
it.
Say what is a secret?
Yeah. Well, it's about a superhero who's able to read children's dreams.
Ooh.
That's all I'm giving away.
Okay.
It's very cute.
So is this something that she created?
Yes,
and
she wrote the storybook, and she and actually this Swiss child, there are other complications, but part of it is she actually is legally blind.
Okay.
So but she drew all of these characters.
She did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Megan helped her kind of shore up some things and put it all together and spend, you know, hours at the editing table with Lindsay, and it's an amazing film clip. Yeah, it's about 8.5-9 minutes long.
How do you see it?
But it's amazing.
How
we're
going to
we have it actually on the computers upstairs, but we're going to put it on the big screen.
Ooh.
Her premiere is going to be July 12th.
How
at the
exciting.
Capital Center of the Arts in Concord. And they have been absolutely amazing for us. We've even got, you know, official tickets from the Capital Center And we're going to have red carpets and paparazzi and
a whole
reception.
We have to wear a long gown and everything.
We should do that. Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Like Academy Awards.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm wearing.
The invitations are going out today. She just gave me the list for all her family and friends. I think I'm going to put that on it.
That would be so cool.
So now, is it open to the public? Can people buy tickets to go?
We hadn't even thought of that.
You should.
So, Yeah, so far it's just a guest list that Lindsay gave us, and I think it's going to be over 200 people, but I don't see why not. It could,
And proceeds could go to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you'll have to think about
very
that.
Cool.
And we're going to give us some details maybe about it. So
we'll see what Lindsay thinks about that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. How exciting for her, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's her wish to, you should hear the wishes that they hear. It's just amazing. I mean, each week she comes down and we learn something new about Make-A-Wish, and it's just...
How many wishes are you able to fulfill each year?
We usually go between 80 and 90, and I think we might end this year with about 84, maybe.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
How long have you been around?
The Make-A-Wish was actually incorporated in 1987. So we're coming up on our 30th year.
Did it start in New Hampshire, or where did it start?
Well, there's actually the very first wish was granted in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh.
And it was for a young boy who wanted to be a police officer. And, you know, a group of people got together. They actually made this amazing experience for Chris Gracious. And he was able to, you know, ride in a helicopter and ride on a motorcycle, police motorcycle. He had his own uniform. And there's all these stories about how he used to walk around town and hand out tickets and things like that. It was
so
really, really,
cool.
Really cute. And, you know, and from that, you know, his mom and a couple of people that helped with his wish were sitting around the breakfast table, and they thought, wouldn't this be amazing if we could do it for more kids?
Mm.
So they created the Make-A-Wish organization. And then from there, other people heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Make-A-Wish has popped up all over the country. And now we're pretty much everywhere in the world except for a couple third world countries. And the beauty of Make-A-Wish is that we're a federation, so we're all linked. But yet at the same time, we're all separate 501c3s around the country.
Nice.
So we work really closely together, but we have all the benefits of kind of being our own organization at the same time. So that's really cool.
And aren't you doing something this summer, something with June, July, August, or July, August, September of how many wishes that you're going to be granting?
So we are on course to grant, actually, last time I was here, I said 30. It looks like we might be up to 32 wishes in the next 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing.
Which is absolutely incredible.
Do you have a number one wish that you get? Is it Disney World?
Yeah. I think that's the most frequently requested wish. But the neat thing is that when people think a Disney wish, they think it's kind of all the same, but it's really not. Each Disney wish is so, so different. So, you know, it could be everything from meeting Buzz Lightyear to wanting to be a princess at Disney. We had that recent one I was talking about with Matt, who wanted to be a Disney puppeteer.
Yes, that was so
cool. Oh, and one of my favorite wishes of all time, you know, Disney related, you know, kind of the Southern Florida theme parks, a little boy wanted to meet and defeat Darth Vader. And that was his wish. And, you know, we worked with Universal and it was absolutely amazing. And they set up, they had Darth Vader calling him every night in his hotel room. He was there for a week. So around 6 o'clock, all of a sudden his mom said he would start shaking, you know, and going, he's going to call me. He's going to call. He's going to call. And when he finally met Darth Vader for his battle, you know, I hope Darth Vader had some real shin pads because this little boy meant business and Darth Vader was going down. It was the most amazing thing, you know, of all of the creative and neat wishes that we've had over the years. Somehow that one's just stuck with me because it is just so.
Do you film it?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, those are the best wishes when we can get kind of in the moment because then we can share it with everyone. Because so often we're sending a child away on their wish. But, you know, in those moments when we have a wish where we can actually capture the smile on the child. And, I mean, you can see it. It's absolutely amazing.
How wonderful is that? You must love your job.
I do.
Fulfill these
I really
wishes.
Do. Yeah.
Helen, I always think of them. I say this all the time. I always think of them upstairs with little wands.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're always all in a good mood. It's crazy.
Little magic dust flying
they're
around.
Just like always.
Probably upstairs they have little wings that come up, but they hide them. They hide them when they come downstairs.
I had to put my suit jacket on so I could cover them up. But yeah, we do. We try to make it fun because otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
What's the use, right?
And you know, she came down about a month ago and they got a request. It has since been, he thought about it a little bit more, but he wanted to go to the moon.
Oh my.
How do you do that?
Oh boy. Yeah.
And Mike had just off the top of his head, do you ever have a wish to go to the moon? Well, we just got one of those in. Luckily for me, he changed it.
Oh, that
he's like, his mind.
Yeah, I think he was just testing us. It's like, no, I really don't want to go to the moon. I just wanted to see your faces when I said that.
Now, how do you get the funds to grant these wishes?
Amazingly, we have donors across New Hampshire. So, you know, it's either corporate donors, individual donors. We have so many clubs, organizations, companies around the state that raise money for us and donate it to
us. How wonderful is that?
It's absolutely amazing. And so all of our funding is, you know, independent and from individuals and corporations. Yeah, it's... It never ceases to amaze me. And we have a group of about 60, what we call society members. And these are individuals who have pledged 5 years out that they're going to be with us. Because our big goal as an organization is that we want to grant a wish for every child in New Hampshire that's facing a life-threatening medical condition. And we know that 112 kids are diagnosed every year. So we know that there's a delta there and that we're just not reaching all the kids in New Hampshire. And so we really have been working on our outreach and getting out there. And this has been an amazing opportunity for us because, you know, if you know of a child who might be facing a life-threatening medical condition, you know, give us a call and we can talk to you and get them referred in. I mean, you know, that's our dream. I mean, if we could do this for every child, because we really see the difference that it makes in a child's life. It's
and the
absolutely
family, too,
amazing.
I would imagine, too.
Yeah. And the siblings.
Yes.
You know.
So now if someone wants to give, how can they give money to you?
They can give us a call, 623-9474. They can go right online and donate if they'd like to. You know, send a check, you know, whatever form of transportation. We're right upstairs at 814 Elm Street. So,
there you go. And if anybody out there also wants to volunteer some time, they can do that as well.
That would be incredible, too.
I mean, you know, they do, you can go up, you can stuff some envelopes. They have a great tour, too. Do you maybe have it on break for the summer, or are you still doing it?
We're actually doing them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I should have brought down the list of dates, but I don't know them off the top of my head.
Well, you know what? Next week you can bring the dates down, but they can go to nh.wish.org.
Yep, they're right on the front page there.
Right there on the front page. And my son Tyler and I went up for a tour, and it just, you know, you do it very well.
You
learn a lot about it and you hear little stories and kind of walk around the office, and it's short, you know, it's like an hour or so.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to just share our mission.
Because
there are so many myths out there about Make-A-Wish, and it really gives people the opportunity to, you know, find out a little bit more about us.
So if someone knows how to build a rocket ship, you want them to come over?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
To the moon.
We're doing a treehouse. All builders know.
See? Well, it's true, though, you know? Oh, my gosh. I can't wait till she gets the wish that they want to work in a diner or something.
There we go.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
That'd be like a mini wish, not the real one.
I don't think anybody would really want to do that. When you're older, you want to do that for some reason. I don't know why, but
it's true. Can I come over? Can I come over and flip some pancakes?
Go ahead. That's what any friends or people I hear that say that, I'm always like, listen, come for one shift and it'll change your mind.
Or change your life.
Or change your life. You never know. Well, Julie, thank you so much for coming on. Helen, thank you for coming in and co-hosting today.
It was
very fun. And Kale and Company is up next. I'm not sure who's in for Ken, because you know where Ken is right now? He's in St. Martin.
Boy, sailing St. Martin.
I know. And here we are working. But this is fun. I don't really count this as work.
No, I don't count this at work.
I don't either. I really don't. But all right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.